Good day, and welcome to the Semler Scientific First Quarter 2020 Financial Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Please note this event is being recorded. Semler Scientific would like to remind you that this conference may contain forward-looking statements. Such statements can be identified by words such as may, will, expect, anticipate, intend, estimate, or words with similar meaning, and such statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause Semler Scientific's actual results to differ materially from those discussed here. These results include uncertainty due to the evolving COVID-19 pandemic, along with other risks associated with Semler Scientific's business. Please note that these forward-looking statements reflect Semler Scientific's opinion only as of the date of this presentation, and it undertakes no obligation to revise or publicly release the result of any revision to these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. Please refer to Semler Scientific's SEC filings for a more detailed description of the risk factors that may affect Semler Scientific's result and these forward-looking statements. Now I'd like to introduce Doug Murphy-Katorian, CEO of Semler Scientific. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining the Semler Scientific First Quarter 2020 Financial Results Call. I'd like to introduce you to Dennis Rosenberg, our Chief Marketing Officer, who begin our presentation today. Dennis?
Thanks, Doug. We always like to begin our calls with a reminder about Semler's strategy. Semler is a company that provides technology solutions to improve the clinical effectiveness and efficiency of healthcare providers. Our mission is to develop, manufacture, and market innovative products that assist our customers in evaluating and treating chronic diseases. We believe that our technology and software solutions enable our customers to identify when preventive care options are appropriate and to intervene before events like heart attacks and strokes occur. We're pleased to report that the company's financial performance during the first quarter of 2020, based on revenue and pre-tax net income, was the best quarter in our company's history. Comparing results from the first quarter of 2020 to the first quarter of 2019, the highlights of today's report are as follows. Number one, revenue grew 39% to $9.4 million. Number two, pre-tax net income grew 86% to $3.5 million. Number three, net income grew 44%. Number four, earnings were 41 cents per basic share and 33 cents per diluted share, which compares to 29 cents per basic share and 23 cents per diluted share. And number five, cash was $11.2 million at quarter end, compared to $4.5 million 1 year ago. During the quarter, compared to the same period last year, we saw increased orders and usage for our QuantaFlo product from our current insurance company customers and from our home risk assessment customers. We also received orders from new customers. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Andy Weinstein, our Senior Vice President of Finance and Accounting, to describe in more detail the ongoing improvement in financial performance. Andy?
Thanks, Dennis. Please refer to the financial results described in the press release that was distributed at market close today. For the quarter ended March 31st, 2020, compared to the corresponding period of 2019, revenue was $9.4 million, which was an increase of $2.7 million, or 39% from $6.8 million. Operating expense, which includes cost of revenue, was $6 million, an increase of $1.1 million, or 22% from $4.9 million. Pre-tax income was $3.5 million, which was an increase of $1.5 million, or 86% from $1.9 million. Our net income was $2.7 million, which was an increase of $800,000, or 44% from $1.9 million. Our net income per share was 41 cents per basic share and 33 cents per diluted share, and that compares to 29 cents per basic share and 23 cents per diluted share for the same period last year. For the quarter ended March 31st, 2020, weighted average basic share count was 6,533,369, and our diluted share count was 8,065,813. Analyzing the expense categories and earnings in the first quarter 2020 as a percentage of our quarterly revenue, our cost of revenue was 9% of quarterly revenue. Engineering and product development expense was 9%. Sales and marketing expense, 29%. General and administrative expense was 17%. And net income was 28% of our quarterly revenue. As of March 31st, 2020, Semler had cash of $11.2 million, which is an increase of $6.7 million compared to $4.5 million at this time at March 31st, 2019. This change was primarily due to cash provided by operations from net income, as adjusted for such items as accounts receivable, which provided $1.9 million, reconciliation of net income to net cash provided by operations, which provided $1 million, including a tax-deferred expense of $700,000. This was partially offset by cash used for accrued expenses amounting to $1.5 million, prepaid expenses amounting to $500,000, and the purchase of inventory and other capital expenditures amounting to $272,000. As a result of these items, our stockholders' equity is now $15.8 million at March 31st, 2020. Our quarterly report on Form 10-Q, which includes our cash flow statement and more discussion on our cash and liquidity, the Form 10-Q will be filed with the SEC shortly. Our two largest customers comprise 46% and 21% of our quarterly revenues. Fixed fee license revenues were approximately $6.5 million for the quarter. Variable fee license revenues were approximately $2.7 million, and equipment and other sales were $270,000. In the first quarter of 2020, new installations produced an overall net gain in fixed fee license contracts. Requests for changes in billing arrangements due to the COVID-19 pandemic amounted to less than 1% of the total fixed fee license revenue for the quarter. Because we started to experience the effects of COVID-19 late in the first quarter, results in the first quarter are not indicative of any future quarter or the full fiscal year. Test volumes have decreased due to social distancing and other executive orders mandating shelter in place or similar restrictions. This affects revenue from our variable monthly fee arrangements, which are based on usage largely occurring during home visits. In April 2020, compared to March 2020, our fixed fee monthly license revenues decreased by approximately 4%, and our variable fee software license revenues decreased approximately 97%. Although we do not provide formal guidance, Semler Scientific intends to manage its expenses and other costs in line with these changes in revenues to conservatively preserve cash during these uncertain times. We believe customer interest in our QuantaFlow product and related services will return or exceed the pre-COVID-19 activity at such time as the shelter-in-place or similar restrictions are lifted and non-emergency medical services resume. Operating expenses are expected to decrease during the second quarter of 2020 as a result of cost-cutting measures that have included vendor fee reductions and decreased spending on consultants. To date, staffing, salaries, and inventory have been maintained at our usual levels. Travel expense has been decreased. Cash at April 30th, 2020 increased compared to the cash at March 31st, 2020, primarily due to these spending adjustments. Until the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on our business are more quantifiable, we do not plan to make any material changes to our business plans or operations. Now I'll ask Dennis to continue the discussion and provide concluding remarks. Dennis?
In the first quarter of 2020, Semler again expanded its infrastructure and headcount to 78 employees, or an increase of 11 employees. We plan to hold at that number for now. As we have been a virtual company for 10 years, we are comfortable communicating and working out of our homes. Also, we have web-based training in place and are experienced in using it. There is also no plan to raise additional capital at this time. We reserve the right to change our financing plans as opportunity or as need arises. For the time being, we don't plan to uplist to the NASDAQ exchange. Our goals are to continue to upgrade the existing product and data services and to invest in new services and products. We continue to invest in R&D and also look at potential products to license in order to provide enhanced services that our customers will value both now and in the future. We believe Semler Scientific is well positioned because we deliver cost-effective wellness solutions for the care of patients with chronic diseases. We may improve health outcomes for patients by identifying those who benefit from preventive health measures. We provide economics that work for the providers, the facilities, the insurance plans, the government, and the patient. In conclusion, the first quarter of 2020 was an achievement record for the company in terms of both financial performance and the number of patients being tested with our products. As we discussed, we have seen a decline in our business in April, but I want to reiterate that we believe customer interest in our QuantaFlo product and related services will return to or exceed pre-COVID-19 activity at such time as shelter-in-place or similar restrictions are lifted and non-emergency medical services resume. Thank you for your interest in the company and your continuing support. Now, operator, please open the lines. Doug, Andrew, and I will be happy to address your questions.
Thank you. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. The first question comes from Brooks O'Neill from Lake Street Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. We appreciate all your commentary and congratulations on another terrific quarter.
Thank you very much, Brooks.
Yep, it's nice to hear you, Doug. So I guess I have a number of questions, but I'll start with Dennis. I think you mentioned being, you know, very familiar with virtual operations. Can you see any opportunity to turn QuantaFlo into more of a virtual type product or service? My sense is right now it's still pretty dependent on a face-to-face interaction between some kind of a medical provider and patient.
Yes, we certainly are looking at that. I would agree with you that at this point it is dependent on a face-to-face provider encounter.
Okay. Secondly, I'm curious if you can give us any color. I'm not meaning customer-specific color, but any kind of color about the type of communication or interaction you might have had with customers on the fixed fee side of your business or customers on the variable fee side of your business as it relates to, you know, how they view the market conditions now and how they see themselves adjusting over time.
Andy can answer the question about the fixed fee customers. Andy?
Sure. It basically, it's coming in the same direction with every customer. They're asking if we could just do a delay in the billing until, and sometimes they'll say 30 days, sometimes they'll say 60, or they'll say they'll, you know, contact us when it's time to ramp back up. So if doctor's offices are closed, they don't want to pay while they're not seeing patients. You can't fully blame them. So what we're doing is we're seeing almost 99% of the cases when they're asking us to delay billing, they're saying that they are going to come back when this pandemic's over. Of course, the magic question is, when's it going to be over? But that's the type of communication we're getting from our customer. It's basically just a delaying in the billing until, you know, they could see patients again.
Okay, and there's a for C potential customers, they're down because they have and got the opportunity to go into the field, but almost to a man, they are ordering more stuff from us in anticipation of starting over. So that's why we say we think, I don't know, but we think we're going to exceed the rate we had before COVID hit.
Great. That's very helpful, Doug and Andy. Just following on that for a second, do you see any indication there is a there's going to be a catch-up period where patients that might have been seen during April or May will ultimately get seen on top of patients that were likely to be seen in June or July? Or how are you thinking about that at this moment?
Dennis, can you answer this question?
Sure. Brooks, I think that is the operative thought in the minds of the customers at this point. It's dependent on really when things get back in action again. But at this point, they are very much looking to make up whatever has been postponed at this point.
Sure. All that makes sense. Could you just talk a little bit about customer geographic concentration? I'm not asking about specific customers again, but I'm curious if you feel that you have a customer concentration in any of the areas that might have been described as a COVID hotspots over the last month or two.
I can't answer that exactly, but we're all over the country, and it's basically the places we are at are the warmer places as opposed to the colder places, but we're all over. So I think we're, for example, New York is a good location for us, but it doesn't predominate. So it's better better than most situations.
Sure. All that makes sense. Let me just ask one or two more. Can you say, again, I'm not asking specifics about new products, but I'm curious if your progress with regard to new products has been curtailed or delayed, or whether you continue to feel you're making progress there. And then sort of on a related note, I'm curious if, as you look at the current environment, you see any new product or sort of ancillary product opportunities that might have emerged that weren't obvious before. And that's all. Thank you so much for taking and answering my question.
Okay. The question is, we're experiencing some delay, but I think we're basically on the track with the new product area. But we're aggressively looking at new things because maybe some our customers' companies may be getting into problems that we could solve. So anyway, it's I'm optimistic about this, but we're not telling much information, and you have to wait and see what transpires.
That sounds good. Thanks again, and we really appreciate your answering the questions.
Thank you, Brooks.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Kyle Bowser from Daughtry and Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is actually Greg Bodansky on for Kyle. Thank you guys for taking questions. So first one, I imagine there haven't been as many home wellness exams as usual, but it seems like HRAs typically wait until the end of the year to conduct the majority of these anyway. Can you provide a bit more color on what you're seeing here and if patients will simply be pushed out later this year for their home exams?
It's the same basic question. Dennis, you can answer that as well?
Sure. We see home visits occurring throughout the year, and often a concentration towards the end of the year. As far as our HRA customers who have reduced their home visits, they are looking to make up those home visits to whatever extent they can, in addition to the ones they would normally be doing in the latter part of the year. But that's dependent on when things pick back up.
Okay, gotcha. And then are you finding that the remaining large payers are electing to go with HRAs to administer the QuantaFlow rather than implementing it themselves? Or do you think we'll see some large new payers choose the licensing option in the coming quarters?
I think we can't predict, but basically we're signing up new customers directly from the insurance plans, and we're also getting increased uses of the fee per service guys, the HRAs. So, but everybody's delayed, and we haven't been doing as many cases as we did before in the month of April. But I think it's if the restrictions let up, we're going to do and trying to do as many as we can, and these guys are generating interest. But as you say, maybe to even the scales, the insurance companies are going to not only do their cases, but they're going to ask the HRAs to do more. So that's what we hope, but that we don't know yet.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. Since your largest client is a subscriber and they still have the incentive to diagnose Medicare Advantage PAD patients despite the COVID pandemic, how has utilization been in this channel? And then how about new QuantaFlow installments into this client?
Well, as you see, the new client, the older client, the largest one, orders has been ordering consistently through the last few years. I think that you look back at a year ago, and you see that basically the percentage of our revenue they had was unchanged. Okay, so it's maybe down a little or up a little. It depends. So we have a good relationship with these guys, and I think it's going to continue or grow.
Okay, and then lastly, if I may, are there any additional updates regarding plans for deploying your cash?
I'm sorry, repeat the question, please.
For sure. Are there any additional updates regarding plans for deploying your cash?
Oh, Andrew, can you answer this question?
Yeah, we're always looking at R&D. We're looking at different opportunities, and if we find something that's synergistic and something that we would be interested in, you know, it's something we are looking at and we continue to look at. Right now, our cash is strong, and we're looking to conserve cash because of these uncertain times. But you know, we're still out there actively doing what we were doing prior to COVID-19.
And the month of April, we actually increased our cash as opposed to the cash that was available on March 31st. So I think we're doing a good job, and we may be continuing to do this in a conservative manner until we are able to quantify everything. But we want to keep our staff in place because we realize that if they start up again. We need the people to service these accounts. So I think it, if we save money, as we are doing, we're going to be able to expand in the future.
Perfect. That all makes sense. Thank you so much for taking the questions, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Aman Julani from B. Riley FBR. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations on another solid quarter. I wanted to ask, where do you think you are from a penetration standpoint with your top two customers?
Dennis, can you answer this?
Yes. We believe we are early in the game. First inning, as we refer to it, in terms of penetration to the customers. So there's a lot of opportunity to expand within them, and that's a good deal of our activity is focused on that.
Got it. Thank you. And then it's nice to see gross margins continue to walk up. I wanted to ask, what do you think a sustainable long-term gross margin is for the business?
Well, it's very high now. I think it's a 91%. Can you imagine going further? I don't know. We think that they're going to be the operating expenses should be improving in normal times. As such, we think we'll go into have the operating expenses as a percent of revenue go down. So it is a good situation. But we don't give guidance, so I can't answer your question exactly.
Okay. Yeah, but that's helpful. And then I wanted to ask about your second product, whatever you can comment on. But I wanted to know, how much of your R&D dollars are dedicated towards, upgrading QuantaFlow versus developing new products?
Dennis, can you take the first part of that and I'll take the second?
Sure. Well, we are focused very much actively on new products, and that really falls under two categories as we described. One is expanding QuantaFlow product and services, and then looking at outside products as well. So I don't recall exactly how you framed your question, but I just wanted to reiterate we're active in both of those areas.
And as a percentage of expenditures, we're expending more and more as a percentage on the new products than on the old products. But our total R&D budget is increasing, so the increases are being spent on the new products. So I think that we're going to continue in this fashion.
Got it. Very helpful. And then just last question from me. I'd imagine that PAD, patients that are diagnosed with PAD are at higher risk, if they contract the coronavirus. So do you think there might be like a bigger push to do PAD testing after we're sort of out of the woods in regards to COVID-19?
Then it's answer this question. Explain also what PAD means.
Sure. Well, what our QuantaFlow product does is test for peripheral arterial disease, which is growth of atherosclerosis specifically in the leg arteries, and it's often a precursor for heart attack, strokes, and since it's a systemic condition, it grows throughout the body. So PAD testing is often an early warning sign for some of these other types of cardiovascular and heart disease. As far as whether there will be more push because of COVID, I'm not sure, but I know that there is an eagerness when you consider the fact that, although COVID deaths are significant, the deaths from cardiovascular disease, you know, march on month in and month out. And I know that our customers and our clinicians are eager to get back to testing for PAD and other forms of cardiovascular disease. As far as specific to COVID, that's yet to be seen, but there's certainly an eagerness to get back to the PAD testing that was going on before.
And so the preventive therapy is important to do for these chronic diseases, but because COVID affects vessels, they may also have intention, the physicians want to get the risk factors dealt with, because, for example, ACE inhibitors may be protective. So if you have hypertension and you're on ACE inhibitor, that may be protective of against the problems that happened with COVID-19. So I don't know the answer, but preventive is always better than to do than not. So anyway, we have got to see what the people do in the future, but I think preventive is the key to everything.
Got it. Thank you. It's very helpful. I'll jump back in the queue.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Dennis Rosenberg for any closing remarks.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to updating you soon on our continued progress. Goodbye, everyone.
I'll be operating on mic time.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.